Police whistleblower Patricia Morgan Mashale is once again unable to leave a safe house that she has been using over the past 2 years. But she is with us now. Welcome, Patricia.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. Good afternoon.
Patricia, tell us about the latest development. What has happened to you now?
The latest development, Chris, is that I received information on Saturday that there was a meeting between Tele and two crime intelligence generals whose names are known to me, and as well as other few people whom I exposed in my public platforms on Facebook, the corruption that I exposed. And I received a message from my reliable source, the source always gives me the information, that they had a meeting to try and trace my location through the, you remember there was illegal spyware equipment that subs procured in China. And apparently there was also a Chinese national at a meeting who is going to assist them with the equipment because they don't know how the equipment, no one of them ever received any training on the equipment. So this gentleman is going to assist them with the equipment to try and locate, me.
Patricia, what could be behind this now?
I think the fact that I have been, remember the last time when I had an interview with you, I have exposed that military camps. And I never stopped because as I said, I'm a whistleblower, and even when there is corruption or crimes committed, I am going to, since I cannot report it to a police station or any police office, because they are still not acting on the information that I have been given them. I have given the information to the national commissioner. I have proof that me and Professor Dahas have been given information to the national commissioner. It never even acknowledged on the emails, on the WhatsApp messages, neither me or my complaints that I or Mary's complaints that we sent to you. It never even acknowledged it. So I decided that if there's the case, because remember, I'm complaining here about senior top officials in SAPS. I'm not just complaining about ordinary junior members. I'm complaining about top officials. So I decided that if there's the case and he's not interested to act on the information, then I'm going to expose it on my public platforms, and I'm going to name the people who are implicated in this corruption. And I think I also named Tele in cases they were opened against Tele. The dockets are just somewhere. No one knows what happened to these dockets. These dockets are still active because no court has ever withdrawn these dockets against Tele. So Tele's name is also on my public platform. So I believe it's because of this public information and the people that I've been naming in this corruption. There's the reason why they want to silence me, because I'm getting information on a daily basis and I'm sharing information on a daily basis on my public platform.
Patricia, I don't know how you keep going. You have suffered 3 years of persecution. And in July, you were finally acquitted of an apparently malicious charge. But now I understand that your lawyer can't get a copy of a judgment.
Remember, the judgment was delivered on the 30th of July. And we have been struggling since then to get the copy of the judgment from court. Our lawyers have been sent from panel to post. There was some stage when they were told that the docket cannot be located. So since then, we are struggling to get the court. The lawyers cannot do anything without a judgment. They need a judgment to proceed with criminal cases against the implicated people. They need their judgment to proceed with civil litigation, and they need their judgment to proceed also with criminal cases against the prosecutor who are responsible for this malicious prosecution, because she was also defeating the ends of justice. And we received a message last week from a prosecutor at court saying that all prosecutors have been instructed to not handle all my dockets. My dockets will be handled directly by the DPP. All the my dockets is in the office of the DPP. So I believe the DPP is sitting with a judgment, and the DPP is refusing to hand over the judgment to my lawyer, because that is the instruction it was given to people at court to not handle my matters. If I want something, I must write an email or a letter to the DPP. I did send this voice note from the prosecutor that was sent to my husband, to probe the house. And she said she will take it up with not even the NPA, because the NPA, we've been complaining to the NPA since forever. There's an advocate, the cop there, the NPA, who keep on referring our complaints back to the very people that we are complaining about here in Twisted DPP. And even Professor Da has this state, he replied in a very arrogant manner to say that she's not my legal representative. I must get a lawyer to communicate with them. Imagine lawyers cost money. So to get a simple judgment, I must now go and pay a lawyer to write them an application to get a judgment.
Patricia, since our last interview, have you been contacted by state security or by any senior police officers to make affidavits or to give them further information?
I have been contacted by state security. I will not mention the names because I don't want to jeopardize their investigation. But yes, I have been contacted by state security, and I did keep them my statements.
Mm-hmm. And anybody from the Independent Investigative Directorate?
No.
IPED?
No, they've not contacted me. I have been in contact with them because all the complaints that I sent to the National Commissioner, I also submitted it to IPED, and they at least acknowledge receipt, and I can see they forwarded the complaints to an investigation officer. That just today I received another acknowledgement to say that they received my complaints and they have appointed an investigation officer to investigate these complaints.
But now Professor De Haas has advised you not to meet with any police official or any state security official privately or in person, and that should any other affidavits be required from you, that they should get them through your lawyer.
Yes, because I was supposed to meet with two brigadiers regarding the complaint that Prabhupada sent to Parliament. And they just wanted...
About your treatment.
About my treatment, yes. And they just wanted supporting affidavit from me, because she's the complainant in that matter. And it's final that they have to travel from Pretoria to get an affidavit. So Prabhupada sent them, after we received the information that SAPS is trying to locate me, we decided that I'm not going to jeopardize or risk my safety to meet with them any longer. So Prabhupada sent an email earlier to them to tell them that if they really need an update affidavit, because all the evidence is in the file that she sent to Parliament. I don't understand why is a supporting affidavit, because she is the complainant, and I already confirmed all the information on all my social media platforms, and all the complaints that I already sent to, even to Parliament. I also sent complaints to Parliament. I sent complaints to the Special Investigation Unit. I sent complaints to the National Commission. They can use that information, because I'm the one who's the complainant in that matter to support complaint. So yes, I am not going to meet with them. She already sent them an email to inform them that their meeting is not going to take place.
Now, Professor De Haas has also written a letter to the police minister to ask him to urgently investigate this incident, this tracking incident that you have been tipped off about, Patricia. Do you have faith in the new police minister? I know you certainly didn't and don't have it in the previous one.
I never had faith in the previous minister for obvious reasons. Remember, I reported corruption to him as far back as 2008. So I really would want to have faith in the current minister. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt to see whether he's going to act on. Remember, there's a lot of complaints that Broder has and myself submitted to his office. So I want to give him space to see if he's going to act on this information and not judging based on what transpired between me and the previous minister of police. So yes, for now, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I'm going to say something very chilling to you now, but I recently spoke to a police officer about your case, and he said to me that there were policemen taking bets on how you are going to die, whether it will be a natural death or in a car crash. I'm sure it's not the first time that you have heard that, Patricia.
No, it's not the first time. You know what? I also know that I'm not going to die in a natural death, even when I die. But I want everyone to know if I die unnatural death, that the police is responsible for it. I want everyone to know that. I know. Not knowing when is give me some kind of comfort. But I know I'm going to be killed by the police.
You know, Patricia, every time I get a message from Professor Haas, I go cold because I think something has happened to you. You must feel like a marked woman, and it chills me to the bone that you're saying you know that you are going to die at the hands of the police, and yet you keep going.
You know what? I had to make friends with reality. And I had to tell myself that as long as there's no action from the government, as long as there's no action from the president, I had to just make friends with reality that is going to happen. It happened to Babita. The president was there. I didn't know who killed Babita. It happened to Armand. It's known that even the guy who killed Armand was released on bail. So as long as the president is turning a blind eye, now we just I just read an article, I think it was 2 days ago, where they said that there is a whistleblower hit squad, which is consisting of police officers. So the information is out there. Everyone knows about it. These people are known. The president read newspapers. He's watching the news. He see that there's a hit squad who are killing whistleblowers. But as long as the president is condoning it, then we as whistleblowers must accept the reality and live with it. We don't have a choice.
Patricia, if you could have your life over again or your career in the police over again, would you do it any differently? You have a family that's gone through immense trauma.
I would do it. If I would have watched a video of what was going to happen if and when I expose this corruption, I would have had some kind of doubts. But on the other hand, my conscience would not have allowed me to keep quiet. So I would have done it, Chris, knowing that I might be killed in the process. Because you know what? I'm talking here about, if you can see what is currently happening in this country, as I said, the whistleblowers are being killed and the president is just quiet. I wouldn't have wanted my kids to grow up in a country where they don't have a future, because that is where we are heading if people are not standing up and talking out and just make a noise and make whistleblower fashionable. Because I have a hashtag on Facebook and Twitter, let's make whistleblowing fashionable. And I'm proud to say that police officers are now making whistleblowing fashionable, because now a lot of police officers are now standing up. There's a general from another province who called me and he said to me, he said, Patricia, do you know what you cost? And I thought that there was something wrong that I did. And he said, no. You made police officers to stand up for the truth, because the way we are receiving complaints and information of corruption from police officers now is amazing. So I'm proud to say that at least I made an impact. People are now not afraid anymore, although most of them choose to remain anonymous, but they are reporting to me all the information that I'm getting it from police officers. So not even just from police officers, even from other government departments. I recently exposed the corruption that is happening at St. Lake here in Free State, whereby the CEO of St. Lake doesn't even have the relevant qualifications. He's using fake qualifications. And I reported it to the SIU, and it's confirmed that the CEO is using fake qualifications. You know what, Chris? People die. People are being killed because of corruption. And families are mourning their loved ones. And we just decided to look the other way. People are now standing up. They are not looking the other way anymore. They are reporting this corruption. And I can safely tell you that something is happening in the police. Something is happening at Centec. Something is happening in other government departments, because whistleblowing has become fashionable.
Thank you. That was whistleblower Patricia Morgan Mashale speaking to BizNews about the mortal danger that she has lived in ever since she started exposing corruption, but vowing to continue. Thank you, Patricia, and I'm Christine.
Thank you so much, Christine.